Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, we thank you this evening, Lord, for the privilege you have given us to come into your house and to worship you. God, this is what you said in your word, that we should not forsake the gathering together of the believers. God, you say also in your word that wherever two or three are gathered in your name, there you will be in their midst. Father, we are more than two. God, we are more than three. We believe that, Lord Jesus, you are here in our midst. God, you also said in your word that wherever the carcass is, there will the eagles be. Father, we are believers. God, we know that the word of God is here. And that is why we are here, Lord, to feed upon your word. Pray that, Lord Jesus Christ, you will not disappoint us this evening. God, you use, Lord, my lips to speak to your people. God, these people are your people. You know them. You know their hearts. You know what are affecting them. God, we pray that the Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, we move. Lord, by the end of the service, that we'll give glory to your name. In Jesus' name of prayer. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good evening, brothers and sisters. It's a privilege again to be here this evening. And trust that the Lord will bless us as we come into his house of fellowship. You know that every time we come to worship him, he will surely bless us. Let us please turn our Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 3. I have this note I prepared, the effects of reasoning God's word. That's going to be our topic this evening, the effects of reasoning God's word. Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, and God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Verse 6, And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the tree thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. Verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. May the Lord add blessing to his word in Jesus' name. Let's please be seated. While we are sitting, we can please turn to the book of Ruth, chapter 1. Ruth, chapter 1. I'll read from verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, and her two sons, and they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Mahlon and Chilion died, also both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. And she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, and as ye have dealt with the dead and with me, the Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters, why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say, I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, will ye tarry for them till they were grown? Will ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. I want you to take note of this. Say, sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. So we have other scriptures which we will love to read, but because of time, we want to see how we can maximize the usage of the time. I have also here the book of 2 Kings, chapter 5. If you read from verse 1, going down, it talks about Naaman. You know, Naaman had an issue that he was subjected to reasoning. And then Matthew chapter 4, we see that the devil came to reason with the Lord himself. So we look at this word reason, because the topic is the effects of reasoning God's word. Let's look at the word reason. It means to think, understand something by the process of logic, persuade someone with rational argument, find an answer to a problem by considering various possible solutions. Reason is related to persuade, convince, logic, and rational analysis or evaluation. Reasoning is one of the senses of the spirit. The devil used reasoning the word to cause the fall of man. It has always been his strategy. That is why the mind is a battlefield between God and the devil. We have to see things in line with perfect scriptures in order to be in the perfect will of God. Let us note that a man with gifts and callings can be in the permissive will and still realize results, because gifts and callings are without repentance. And say, God means what he says. He does not change his nature nor his word. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We cannot know God by reasoning, but by faith. Nature proves to us who God is. Everyone who comes to God will be tried and tested. We must overcome by the word. Take God at his word because he means what he says. And the Holy Spirit is the intelligence of God. And I want you to take note of John chapter 3, verse 31. The scripture says that whatsoever is from above is above all. And so whatever we see confronting us from this world to subject our minds to doubt what is from above, we should know that it is lesser than what is from above. Because God, who created us, is from above. And the scriptures say, whatsoever is from above is above all. So that means the intelligence of God is above the intelligence of man. It's above the intelligence of the devil. It's above the intelligence of all the scholars of this world combined. God's intelligence is above all. So the prophet taught us to only believe because all things are possible. And Christ Jesus overcame by the word. We see here in 2 Kings chapter 5 verse 1 going down that Naaman gave up his reasoning and received his healing. Eve fell by giving in to the reasoning of the devil. Oprah backslid because of reasoning, and Ruth overcame by faith. And David, we may look at David maybe how he overcame the reasoning of the people around him and defeated Goliath by faith. Now let's go to the statements here that the prophet said, our prophet William Branham. The title of this one is that you should never reason the word, you should only believe. Now here, he said, I said, there is no reasoning to God's word. Just say it just the way he said it. And if I die, I'm coming to him believing his word. That's right, I said, I'm sick and tired of this. That's right, being suffering from 2 years or more like that and couldn't hardly stand up, weighed 80 pounds, I said, I'm tired of it. I'm going to take God at his word. So the prophet is saying here that we should take God at his word and not take our feelings and not take the symptoms that affect us, not take the situations that are happening around us. But we should take God at every moment at his word. Because at every moment, we will be confronted with things that will make us to doubt and make us to reason. And once we begin to reason with the symptoms and we begin to reason with the circumstances around us, then we may be tempted to go away from what God has promised us. And if God has promised in his word that he has healed us already, and that's what we need to hold on to. That divine healing is possible today as it was possible yesterday. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if God raised the dead in the time of Christ Jesus, he raised the dead in the time of Brother Branham, he is capable of raising the dead again in our time. Because if we do not believe that, then we are serving another God. Because Christ Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God doesn't change his way. He doesn't change his nature. His abilities do not change. He is capable of doing what he has done before. If he judged sin in time of Sodom and Gomorrah, he will judge sin the same way today. Otherwise, he will raise the people of Sodom and Gomorrah and apologize to them. If he allows America and the other parts of the world who have endorsed gay and lesbian and transgender and whatever foolish things that they have embraced in their governance system,
If he allows this government to go free, then God will raise Sodom and Gomorrah and apologize to them. And that is why we believe that this nation will be judged. And we believe that every nation that endorses foolishness of that nature, which is against the word of God, will be judged. Whether it's an individual, or it's a nation, or whatever group you may be, who endorse what God condemned, you'll be judged the same way God judged the other people. If God judged the people of Noah, during the time of Noah, because of unbelief, and because of doubting his word, because God gave his word to Noah, the standard that they should have in order for them to escape the flood, he gave it to Noah. He did not give it to other preachers around. He gave it to Noah. And Noah alone knew how the measurement of the ark could be. He knew the length, the breadth, the height, and even the kind of wood to be used. It was only Noah that was given that kind of instruction. He alone heard it from God. Even his wife and his children were not given the instruction. He alone knew. And he was the one that was speaking that it was going to rain. It is going to rain. And he sounded as if he was a foolish person. Because at that time, there had been no rain before. And he was talking about rain. 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 Just like now, when the people that are full of science in this country, people that are full of intellectualism, are talking about the rapture, the rapture. And they're talking about, what does this person mean? What do you mean by the rapture? Because they don't understand what that is. All what they know is about the flesh. How they can eat food today. They don't even know how to say their prayers. Because they believe that if they go to McDonald's, they can have food. So they don't believe that God provide our daily bread. They believe that their jobs provide them the daily bread. They don't believe that God is the provider. And so in this kind of situation, where people have been clogged up with intellectualism, and they have been clogged up with their abilities, and now you are telling them that there is going to be a body change. You are telling them that there is going to be a rapture. You sound as a foolish person. Because they are clogged up into reasoning. And God doesn't deal with people like that. He deals with people that will believe his word. And God, always when he brings his word, it sounds strange. When Noah was preaching at that time, it was a strange message. People have all reasons to doubt it. Because at that time, there was no proof that what he was saying is real. And he was busy building the ark. They would come and laugh at him. Why is this man? Is he losing his mind? What kind of ark are you building? He said, I'm building this ark because God said I should build the ark because the flood is coming and we were going to enter into this ark and escape. They will come and look at him. He's trying to fix it this way, fix it this way. He's busy doing it, just like as you as a believer. You try to comport yourself. You are trying to see that how you are preparing for the body change, trying to live the life. And people are laughing at you that, what is wrong with you? Why don't you behave like the way we behave? You know? So it sounds strange every time God is doing his own thing. When God gives his word, it is very unique. And God's ways are unique. He doesn't mix with the world. And that is why every believer who mixes with the world is enmity to God. We should not mix with the world because the world is enmity to God. Let's continue to read the statements here from Brother Abraham. He turned in. The first statement I read was from the message, "A Thy Word, Lord." Here in the message, "The deep calleth to the deep." He turned in to the audience and said to them, "Why are you reasoning in your heart?" Said to the woman at the well, "Go get your husband." And he said, "I can do nothing except the Father shows me. Ask you something. If what I have said is the truth, If it is the truth, then God's obligated to his word. Not to me, but to his word. Is that right? He is obligated to his word. And then he will bring that to pass just exactly the way he said he will do it. And if he does do it, will all of you then in here, if you haven't received Jesus Christ, will you be willing to do it? As the prophet was throwing a challenge, that if God does something now, will they be willing to believe God? And then he said another statement here. He said, obey thy voice of the angel. Obey the voice of the angel, the message. Obey the voice of the angel. He said, good evening, sir. Now I want you to look right at me. And this is not reading your mind. Now he's talking about what he's doing is not reading the mind. Because one of the senses of human being is reasoning. He can reason people's mind by psychology. But that is not what he said he's doing. Now he adjusts that. Now you are a human and you have a spirit. And this anointing is by another spirit that contacts you. And I would like to have your hand just a moment, please. Now, there's not too much wrong. Now, it's just a moment. Without a germ disease, I will have to see. Now, you just look to me and you just answer me as I talk to you. See, I got to see it by vision. The trouble that's wrong with you isn't a germ. You have a little symptom of a prostate trouble, which causes you to be nervous, but not enough to cause you to get a prayer card or something. Now you just look right this way. Just be sincere. Believe with all your heart. And now, how long have you been a Christian? About 5 years. You love the Lord, do you? Serve him with all your heart. He's wonderful, isn't he? You are just a little nervous. I'm trying to get quiet in so that you just don't be nervous. Just look right this way and believe now. Because you have a very strange feeling because of standing in that presence. I see. What's wrong with you? You have epilepsy. Isn't that right? I see you having those spares there. Something here to say that. Isn't it? You believe the Son of God that I will leave you and wouldn't come back no more. Shall we bow our heads? Someone take the little boy there. Ever who owns the little boy? Sometimes this goes from one to another. And I don't. Someone with the little boy, keep him close to the mother somewhere. Get him there. Come closer. So the prophet is trying to tell us something here that the gift that he was operating, he hold people by the hand and he can be able to go into vision and he can tell the diseases that affecting them and he can even be able to tell the secrets that they are holding back. That kind of discernment is a supernatural discernment. It's a way of knowing by supernatural sense. A prophet, he can see vision. He can also see a lot of things that other people don't see. And a prophet can be able to see the word of God, which other people cannot see. That you can be reading the word of God. You keep reading and reading. But the prophet can come and see something from the word of God which you have not seen before. Remember when Christ Jesus was here on earth, he was occupying the position of the Son of Man. Because with the sonship, there are three sonship ministries of Jesus. The Son of Man, the Son of God, and Son of David. A Son of Man is a prophet. A Son of God is a priest. And the Son of David is a king. So here, when he was here, he was occupying the position of a prophet. So he can see something in the word of God which other people who are theologians don't see. For example, there was a time in John chapter 3, Nicodemus. He went to Christ Jesus and he was trying to find out from him. He said, we know. He was giving a report about who they, the Pharisees. He said, their group, they know that you are a teacher that comes from the Lord. Because no one does this thing except God be with him. But they have two opinions. The Pharisees, one of the opinions they had in public, what they tell their members, that Christ was Beelzebub. But in their meetings, when things seemed supernatural, they say, what was happening, we know this is of God. In their heart, in their mind, they know, they say, it's of God. Now he was gone. He came now quiet at night. He escaped from his companions, and he came quietly to Christ. I want you to, when you go home, read John chapter 3. The conversation that took place between Nicodemus and Christ Jesus. And Christ Jesus said that you have to be born again. He said, how can I be born again? Because this man, that shows that theology is different from new birth. This man knew theology. He knew the word of God. But he has no knowledge about new birth. And Christ is now telling him that you have to be born again. And he asks Christ Jesus, he said, how can this happen? Do I have to go back to my mother's womb the second time? He's asking Jesus Christ a very stupid question, I may say so. Because he's saying, do I have to go to my mother's womb the second time? That's how intellectual people, how far they can miss the mark. So here, Christ is saying that, listen to what Jesus said. He said, you being a leader of, a master of Israel, and you don't know this thing? That's what Christ said. He's saying, he's trying to show the ignorance of people who think they know. The other time, Matthew chapter 19, the people came to him and trying to tempt him. The scripture said they came to tempt him on the issue of marriage. He asked a question. For which cause shall a man divorce his wife? And they were trying to say all kind of things. And Christ said that from the beginning, it was not so. Moses indeed had to give you a license of divorce because of the hardness of your heart. But from the beginning, it was not so. See, and Christ, in fact, one of the statements you can know that, he told them that, he said, have you not read that from the beginning? He said, have you not read that he who created them, created him, the man should leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife? He's trying to refer to them that, have you not read? So Christ could see something in the scripture which they have been reading, but they missed the mark. So intellectualism and human reasoning or schooling doesn't help you to know God. You know God by faith. You know God by believing him. Not schooling. These people were well schooled in scripture. And they came to meet Christ, and Christ is trying to let them know that they missed the mark already. So no, seeking God by intellectualism will make you to miss the mark. And one of the definitions of sin, according to Brother Abraham, is to miss the mark. And another definition of sin by Brother Abraham is unbelief. Okay, let us continue to read. You will see here the prophet, how he defines sin. God's word means exactly what it says. What was the first sin? Let's look at it. You go back here in Genesis chapter 3. You may read it when you get home. And if you want to Genesis chapter 3, when God put the Garden of Eden, put Adam and Eve in there, he told them things that was his word, that they could do, and things they could not do. Now watch, when Satan come to Eve, he said, God has said, thou shalt not eat thereof, but surely thou shalt not die. Then Eve willfully, you get it? Eve willfully doing something that she knew God said not to do. Is that right? Congregation says amen. Now look at it. When Eve willfully, the first sin was ever committed. Is that right? Eve willfully knowing the will of God and refused to do it. That's sin. That's the first sin. knowing the will of God, and you refuse to do it. For example, as a little boy, you are coming up, you have been taught that you should not defy your body, and you willfully go and defy your body. That is sin. You should not smoke cigarette. You should not pollute yourself with the things of this world, and willfully go and fail to do it. It's sin. And now here, then what is sin? In St. John, the 3rd chapter, the 18th verse, Jesus Christ said himself, is this: he that believeth not is condemned already. Is that right? Then sin is actually unbelief. That's how Brother Abraham is trying to define sin here. When you know what to do and you refuse to do it, it's also a sin. And he said also, sin is actually unbelief. Satan, in his enticement, told Eve that God said that, but he didn't mean it. See how he whitewashed the world. Now he said, God said it, but he didn't mean it. In other words, your eyes will be opened. You will know a lot more knowledge. And now the same rotten lie is told by Satan to preachers and church members today. The word of God says so and so, and it don't mean that. God's word means just exactly what it said. That's what Brother Abraham is saying. And he knocked on the pulpit. That God's word means exactly what it says. Now today, the people are bringing new things in the world. The word of God said that men and women should dress differently. And they say, well, it doesn't matter. The word of God said that we should be modest in our appearance. They said, well, it doesn't matter. The churches have allowed worldliness to creep into the church. And today, men and women, they wear the same clothes and they go to church, it's accepted. Whatever God has said before, that is what he still says. And that is his mind. God, Brother Brown said that God does not change his mind about his word. Whatever he has said in time past, that is the same thing he holds onto even today. And his same mentality he has about his word forever and forever. If God made a man different and he made a woman different, that is his mind about human being. Transgender is of the devil. It's not in the original. That's not God's intention for human being. And a man should be a man. There's a difference between a man and a woman. Even in the home, the husband's role is different from the wife's role. God made, we are all human beings. We can all access the blessings of God the same way. We can all pray and God can answer our prayers. We will all go to heaven. We all receive divine healing. In Christ, there's no male, there's no female. There's no Jew, there's no Gentile. But in responsibilities, we are different. We are the same in accessing the blessings of God. But we are not the same in responsibility. For example, we are here in this church. Some of us, we perform different vocations. And that's what holds the society. You know, the society is held by different functions. And these institutions hold the society. Okay, if we are all the same, let's say where the society is made up of only police and there are no teachers. And then the teachers, this town is made of all the people who are teachers. There's no police. There's no firefighter. There is no other people that hold the society that function like that. Those people who say we are the same, we are all the same. Even our gifts are not the same. What kind of foolishness is that? To say that a man and a woman, they are the same. It's a lie. God did not make the world to exist like that. We have different functions, different gifts, and that is what God glories himself in. Amen. And that is what God wants to use. Amen. To run his kingdom. Amen. Okay, I'm here, I can preach well, but I can sing very well. I have to respect somebody who sings. That's diversity in the kingdom of God. And that is what we must respect. We are not the same in functions and roles and responsibilities and duties. We are not the same. A woman has a womb to receive the seed. A man can give the seed. A woman has no seed. Brother Brown said, a woman doesn't have a seed. It's a man that has a seed. Okay, if you say, well, me and a man and a woman, they are the same. But why can a man don't breastfeed? Why can a man don't deliver babies? We are not the same. God did not make our systems the same. And it's of the devil. If it is an ideology, it took a little bit of reasoning for America to begin to think like that. And a little deviation. It has swept this nation and it's going down. Family values are collapsing and the nation is going down. And people are looking at it. They don't care. They think it's ordinary. It's spiritual effect. It's the devil's move. And it started a little bit. Brother Brown said the day when America removed the Bible from the church, that's the day they denied God. That was the day they denied God. Even a family, the day you remove prayer and Bible reading from the family, devotion, you remove it, you have undermined the family completely. Say you are busy, you are doing your job, and you have no time to pray with the family, no time to read the Bible with the children. You undermine them completely because there's no scriptural base for them to grow. You should learn the word of God when you are little. The children should learn the word of God. So their mind will be conditioned. The Bible says, train up a child in the way it should go, so that when he is old, he will not depart from it. So the children must be conditioned in the program of God. Their minds should be shaped to know God. And the scripture, Paul, he was trying to tell Timothy. He said, do not depart from the faith of your grandmother, which has been transferred to your mother, which is now in you. Tight training. You can see Moses. He was raised up and taught scripture. It affected his conscience. When you read scripture to your children, it affects their conscience. Human beings, we are made of spirits. The senses of our body, hearing, seeing, feeling, tasting, smelling. Senses of the spirit, conscience, memory, reasoning, imagination, and affection. This is what our prophet taught us. We did not go to seminary, but we know the word of God because we have a prophet among us. Praise the living God. He said, these are the senses of the spirit. And these are the senses. Sometimes they appear as the orifices. The spirit of God can enter into our body through these orifices. And if we give room to the devil's spirit too, they enter into us through these orifices. What you hear, you keep allowing your children to be listening to Michael Jackson music, to listen to Beyoncé music, and you are a Christian, you look at them, you say, it doesn't matter. It matters. Amen. A Christian should listen to hymns. The children should listen to scriptures. You play the scripture, play the tapes to the children. Let them hear the tape, the voice of the prophet. It affects their conscience as they are growing up. Sometimes you can see them beginning to speak because kids, what they hear, that's what they live. And they can begin to speak. Sometimes you see children beginning to speak some kind of weird words. That's because they have been hearing something. Maybe through music that you ignored, which they were listening. Association that you did not pay attention to. So we have to make sure that we condition our children to believe God. It's our responsibility. It's our job to make sure that our children serve God and they know God. So reasoning is part of us. We can reason. But what do we reason? That is the point. When God has promised us something, do we have to reason to doubt it? That's the point. We have the ability to judge, to analyze situation. and to distinguish and identify things. That part of reasoning is part of us. But to reason, to go against God's statutes and ordinances, that is what the scripture is saying that we should not do. We should know that the laws of God, they are into three sections. There are, if you look at the laws of Moses, there are ceremonial laws, there are civil laws, and there are divine laws. The divine laws, they are constant all the way. We should not joke with them. We should never think that we should try to go against them and succeed. If we go against the divine law, for example, the law of sowing and reaping, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap also. You should know that that's a divine law. You come to church, you say you can't give your offering, you can't give your tithe, and you expect God to bless you. How is he going to bless you? You are going against his word. And you want God to pray, to bless you, but you can't pray. You can't ask. You can't kneel down to pray. You want God to change your situation. You've seen things happening, but you can't pray about it. How can God act in situations like that? For the people of Israel to move from Egypt to the promised land, it took one man, Abraham, to obey a divine law of prayer. He started to pray. And when he prayed, God sent the deliverer, Moses, through him. So we always have to obey God for God to act. You can think that, oh, well, God has promised in his word that he will take the people, but he will send your anointing your way, and you have to give yourself to it, to obey it. When God may have, you know, visited Abraham's conscience, and Abraham started to pray, he started to feel desperate that this situation, when he will go, the prophet was trying to teach us about teaching on Moses. If you go read the message teaching on Moses, the prophet was trying to tell us how desperate Abraham was. He will come like all the other people from work, he's tired. But he will receive a wife that is so welcoming. When he comes home, his backs are all peeled with beating, and his hands are all rough with work. When he comes home, in that message, teaching on Moses, Brother Abraham taught us how families, Christian families, should exist. If you go read that message or listen to it, he said Jacob was so lovely that when Abraham will come, perspiration and everything, when he come, and then Jacob will come and wipe the perspiration and hug his wife, her husband, and then they will be feel very much refreshed. The husband will feel refreshed, and then we have energy to come and pray. So there was not like a chaos in that family, argument and fighting in the home. You know, so, and God started to use Abraham. And God started to move on him. As he was praying, he could pray, he could pray, he could pray, he could pray. And eventually, God had to send Moses through him. And so, whatever God is doing in this world, he does it based on his word. And he does it based on his promised instructions that he has given before. That when we pray, he will act. And when also we confess anything, it will affect us. Amen. Prayer is also part of confession. Remember when Hannah was praying, she made statements that affected her. Even when we are reading here, even her baby that she got, she asked God that, God, I want a son. And when I get that son, I will give that son back to you. That's why sometimes when we are praying, why God does not answer our prayer? Because we ask amiss. Hannah's prayer, if you look at it, is a very spiritual prayer that she did. She asked with the right motive. And she was specific about what she was asking God. She asked God, and she promised God that when she gets the son, she will give back what she has got to God. And if you have a right motive, you are praying about situation, and God will answer you. We don't receive because we don't ask. Sometimes we ask, but we don't receive because we ask amiss. We ask with the wrong motives. So we have to take note of that, that a man called Naaman, which I said we will not be able to go into it, 2 Kings chapter 5, he had to be in reasoning. Let's just summarize our topic here. Naaman, he was a man of valor. He was well respected. He was a captain, but he had leprosy. That leprosy was only identified by somebody who was living with him. A little girl that he caught from war. And if we study Naaman, the little girl said, well, there is a prophet in Israel who can heal. Brother Brown said that girl has never seen that kind of thing happening before. But because she had respect for the God that her parents were worshiping, she had respect about the abilities of a prophet and who a prophet is. She made that confession. And eventually, Naaman also listened and he went to the king. The letter was written to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel, when he received the letter, he rent his coat. And Elisha heard about it. He said, well, don't be angry. Let that man come over here and he will know that there is a prophet here in Israel. And when Naaman came, just for summary's sake, the prophet Elisha told him, go dip yourself in the river Jordan 7 times. And he reasoning got a hold of his mind. He said, I have come all this far. This man, is there no river, clean water over there? He's asking me to go and dip myself in dirty water like this. But when he was reasoning, he had conversation with the people that were around him. One thing we can learn from him is that he discussed this and his people that he brought. They told him, he said, well, if you have come all this way and this man is a prophet, he has told you to do this, go ahead. Brother Brown said, if he was going to dip himself 6 times, so close, and he doesn't complete what, according to the instruction of the prophet, he was not going to receive his healing. But as soon as he finished dipping himself in the water 7 times, he received his healing. So obeying the prophet is also a way of giving up your reasoning, giving up your own imagination, the way you look at things, the way you perceive things, the way your mind may be processing things, to give it up and do things according to how the prophet has said it. That's what can give you deliverance. That's what can give you a perfect result. Because a prophet, he sees things in vision. He has seen in vision how Naaman will be healed. You can see at one time also there was one miracle the prophet performed with kids. Kids came and anointed him and he spoke. And animals came and ate those kids. So he spoke. And then something happened. This time around, he said, well, go dip yourself in water. See, also Jesus Christ, sometimes he can spit and then put it on the people's eyes and they receive. Sometimes he can speak. He can lay hands, whatever he can. So according to how they are moved, how they are led, how what they see. So if you are going to approach a man of God by reasoning, you can't get results. Because a man of God operates in two realms. He is a human being and he is also a supernatural being, a prophet. Let's look at Abraham, for example. Abraham, when the three people came to visit him, he alone was able to identify Elohim. His wife was there. The other people were around him. But he alone understood who God was. And God spoke to him alone and gave him his secrets that he was going to destroy Sodom and Goliath. It was Abraham he spoke to. So that is to tell you that a prophet is different. A prophet is different from other people. You may know God. You may be able to get anointing, but you can never reach to the dimension of a prophet. A priest is not a prophet. An evangelist, a teacher, apostle, these are not. They are different positions. A position of a prophet is a different position. God does nothing, but he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophet. When God gives a major prophet, everything that he has in mind to do, he shows it to him. That's why, like Brother Branham, when this nation rejected Brother Branham, it was a sad mistake that they did. It was a sad mistake because he's a prophet of God. When you reject a prophet, you have rejected God. If you say anything negative against a prophet, you have said it against God. If you malhandle a prophet, you have malhandled God. If you bless a prophet, you have blessed God. Because prophets are embodiments of God. They see things according to how God sees it. So that's why when a prophet says something, he's saying it according to the line in which God is showing him what he's saying. When Moses, he was not there when God made the heaven and earth, he made creation. Moses, all the way the prophet have existed before him, when he was there, in the beginning God created, he started to write all the, how did he? He was seeing it in vision. God was showing him what happened, and he was writing it. So when prophets are saying something or they are doing anything, they are doing it by what they see and what God is showing them. Praise the living God. So that is how we must see a prophet. We must not reason this message. If we approach this message by reasoning or try to compare it to how other people are preaching or how other people who are scholarly people are presenting their languages, how polished their words are, we begin to look at it, we will miss the mark. And if you miss the mark, it's sin. And if you disbelieve, also it's a sin. So we must see God the way God presents himself to us. This age, God has presented himself to us in a very simple way. Brother Abraham being born from a humble family, in a way that people who are scholarly and intellectual and wealthy, they will be able to miss the mark and go to hell. Jesus Christ also, when he was born in a way that was very much in a condition that people who want to reason, they have a point to say he was an illegitimate child, he was this, he was this. And even the testimony of Mary that he came and gave, people who gave up to their reasoning, they were gossiping around Mary all throughout. They are gossiping Jesus himself. All throughout. People who were into reasoning. And they missed the mark. They missed the mark completely. So you don't know God by reasoning. You have to believe God. And your instinct, your something in you must connect with God. If you are of God, you will believe God. Praise the living God. But if you give yourself to reasoning, you will miss the mark completely. Let's raise up, stand up on our feet, please. Because of time, it's almost 9 o'clock. We will sing this song, Hold to God's Unchanging Hand, and we will invite the brother to come and dismiss us. Hold to God's Unchanging Hand. We'll just sing this, the chorus. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. He holds on things intact. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hallelujah.